Good morning. Good morning. There we go. See, one thing you're going to find out about me is I like energy. I need energy. I feed off of it. When I see you guys get excited, I get excited. I say something good, say amen. Let me know that you're there. Please do not fall asleep on me. Like, I'm going to deliver this message with as much energy and passion. But do not fear speaking out. When God is talking to you and you feel that bubbly feeling in your heart, in your soul, give him an amen. Amen. Amen? Amen? There we go. Sunday morning. We're blessed. We're blessed. So, for the people who may have not heard my introduction, I will just briefly go over it again. My name is Isaiah Coleman. I am from Sacramento, California. I am a Greenville College graduate. I got my degree in sociology, emphasis in community and urban development. I love children. I love developing the youth. I was that youth that was misguided, but luckily I had good mentors when I got older. And because of that, I believe that God has put me here today to speak to you guys. I mean, think about it. I came from Sacramento, California, and I'm in Neoga, Illinois. Seriously, think about it. God will take you places you thought you would never be. To let you know a little something about me is that when I was in Greenville, I would say I've been through a lot throughout my life. I've been through some hard times. But being alone, away from family and friends, away from that comfort, was probably one of the hardest things for me to do as a young man growing up. I was put in an uncomfortable position. I was left questioning. And when I questioned and I was uncomfortable, I found answers and I found blessings. Why? Because I turned my faith to Him. Question. Have you guys ever been put in a position where you had to question God and you felt uncomfortable? But through those processes and steps, you found the blessing at the end of the road? If you say no, don't worry. Today, here's your chance. Because what this sermon is going to do is it's going to make your body move. It's going to make your spirit jump. It's going to provoke thought. Why? Because we're speaking on something that causes action, that causes thought. Prayer, which is peacemaking. Probably one of the hardest things in today's world. I felt like Mel had it out for me. He said, "You're speaking on peace." I was like, "Whew, all right, well, you know what? Peace is sometimes our flesh battles within, our flesh battles with it. We don't want to be peaceful, but it heals the spirit. Peace is one of the fruits of the spirit. So today, I will go over three key points God has for you today. Each point will be thought-provoking, prayer needed, action moved. Whatever may have held you back in the past, whatever is that barrier in front of you from making peace within your own life and making peace for others, I'm telling you, it is gone today. Amen? We are going to find out how kingdom peace is different from human peace. And the text comes from Matthew 5:9. Children of God, if you have your Bibles with you, please open it up. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I say it one more time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Let's bow our heads and pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray that you calm all nerves and you turn all attention to you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you use me as a vessel, Lord God. Use me as your instrument to serve your purpose, to promote peace. That each member of this church, we are all one body, but we will go out and serve your purpose, Lord God. Jesus came down here, created peace, served as a peaceful warrior, never turned to violence. He was slow to speak, quick to listen to those who accused him, persecuted him. So, Lord God, I ask that we have that same heart, that we will be Christ-like. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Are we awake? There we go. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'll start off with the history of the text. This is Jesus' first sermon. We know this as the Sermon on the Mount. And in that time, Jesus didn't stand up like I am today. Like, this would be weird. If Jesus was standing up and you guys were sitting, it would be more like the opposite. You guys would stand up and Jesus will sit. And surrounding him was his disciples. His disciples were learning about 8 characteristics. These characteristics are very important, very essential to the Christian believer. Why? Because these 8 characteristics are showing us how the people in kingdom, how the civilians in kingdom act. So, we follow these 8 characteristics. Today, I'll be speaking on the 7th characteristic, peacemaking. I find it interesting how each time Christ introduces the characteristic, he starts by saying, blessed. In the Greek text, blessed means happy. So let's take a minute, think about it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. Happiness is found in peacemaking. Aren't you guys happy when you're blessed? So, this is an attitude Christian people must take on. If you want to find happiness, if you want to find peace, you must have a blessed attitude. Sorry, I said that again. If you want to find peace, if you want to make peace, you will be happy. And you have to take on blessed attitudes to do that. And then he goes on to say, for they will be called the children of God. To all Christians, God is making us a promise here. He is saying, if you promote peace, if you make peace, if you do my work on earth, you'll be adopted into sonship, daughtership. I don't know if that's even a word, but you guys are included in this. Carry out my work and you are family. And speaking on peace, we know peace to be freedom from disturbance, to keep things calm, to keep things quiet. We sometimes say that, hey, if I don't go over there, or if I don't poke my head in that business, I'm keeping the peace. I'm just going to stay away from it. I want to let you guys know is that Jesus is calling you to do much more than that. He's not telling you to sit in your chairs and not attack it. So, peacemakers, or it says in James 3, verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I'll say it again. James chapter 3, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. meaning. Times are going to get hard. You may be going through a struggle right now in your life. I don't know what it is. And it is crowding your peace. It has a wall up from you making peace with yourself, with somebody else. You can't go to sleep at night. Something is keeping you up. Your peace has been stricken. But if you find a way to be peaceful in these moments, you will reap a peaceful harvest. You will gain something. For every cause, there is an effect. What you put in is what you will get out. And that is what Jesus is saying here. You're all right. You're excused. But what I can say is that that struggle, that distraction, that spiritual cancer that is keeping you away from making peace will end today. You will make peace with others. You will make peace with yourself. God has a message for you. If you do not change that, if you do not cancel that disturbance, that turbulence within your spirit, life will get hard. And as we see in our world that many disasters are happening within people's lives. Suicide, anxiety, major depression. We need to be at peace in our spirit. We need to feed that seed so we can harvest a righteous spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Like I kind of touched on before, in our country alone, there are many events and disasters that have happened and that will happen. We know of them. Vegas, Florida, Houston, fires in California. Many disasters that are happening right now that is disrupting the peace. And God is calling His people, which are us, we are His people, we are His children, to go out and make peace. And it's crazy how we know a lot of these things, because with the touch of a button, we can figure out what it is that is disturbing peace. If you have a smartphone in your pocket right now, your peace can be distracted instantly. Like, you can be serving God and get a phone call. And if you were to get a phone call now, I'll tell you, do not answer it unless it's Jesus. I'm just letting y'all know. But these things distract us. These things in the world are constantly breaking away the Christian people. Media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, cyberbullying. Like, Christian people, we have decided to take a back row seat and acting on the events that are happening right in front of us. We know that we can help somewhere, but are we? So, with that being said, I'll get into the kingdom ways on how to create peace, not only within your own lives, but with others as well. My first point, if you have a pen, a paper, pencil, you might want to take these notes down. Believe me when I say writing this sermon was a struggle for peace. I stayed up, but you know what? I found peace within it. So, my first point, prepare for a long journey. I'm talking about long journey. You may ask why. I'm going straight to the Bible for this one. Psalms 34, verse 13. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I'll say it again. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This means you can't just look for it, be like, all right, God, I can't find it, I'm done. Like you did that one time when you couldn't find a remote and it was in the cushions. Like it was like, oh, you know, the kids found it. Seek peace. Pursue it. That does not mean that it's always going to be right in front of you. That means you have to literally move. You have to step towards to finding peace. Seek and pursue. For example, we've all lived a childhood, and some of us like to play hide and seek. And for me and my cousins, we played a extreme game of hide and seek. We'd turn off all the lights in the house because it'll make it hard, you know. The only way you knew where things were at in your way was you knew the house. You knew the where the chairs and stuff were. But you turn off the lights, and I'm walking around and bumping into stuff. You're trying to feel around, and sometimes, I don't know, I close my eyes because I'm already in the darkness, so I'm trying to find out where I'm going. And if you played the way me and my cousins played, you didn't stop till you found it, or till you found that person. So with that example, peace is a game of hide and seek. You cannot quit. You have to find it. And sometimes your peace is found in the darkness, but at the end of the tunnel is the light. Let me go a little deeper into it. That struggle that you're holding on to, it's almost like that hidden person. And you have to come to peace within yourself. You have to find it within yourself to know that you're willing to let that go. Because sometimes holding on to that struggle of not making peace is like connecting a chain and ball to your foot and trying to run. Listen to the Lord in the darkness, for peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And when you follow your spirit, you will find blessings that He has for you. Seek and pursue, meaning to go out and get. It is not in front of you always. I just told you I came from Sacramento, California, and I'm here in Neoga. I had to take a risk. I had to let go of things. I had to be uncomfortable to be where I am today. Never would have thought I would have been preaching in front of a congregation. But because I decided to get out of the darkness and listen to my spirit where God was leading me, I landed in places that is blessing me now. For example, we'll look at Jesus in the Gospel of John. We see that in Jesus' day, Jews and half-breeds, known as Samaritans, did not communicate. They did not speak to each other. You guys may know this story as a woman at the well. Jesus goes, and he's been traveling long ways. And instead of going around Samaria, he goes through it. Jews, because Samaria was a place that they thought was nasty, like they did not associate with Samaritans, Jesus went into Samaria to find a woman. And when he found a woman, he asked her for water. And she goes, "Aren't you a Jew? Why are you asking me for water?" At that moment, what Jesus did was cancel the racial tension, the divide within Jews and Samaritans. At that time, Jesus, it was daytime. Jesus was not supposed, or that woman was not supposed to talk to Jesus, nor was she supposed to be out. And that woman was known to have many husbands. Jesus knew that. He seeked and pursued her. And because of that, she became a child of God, told the town, which then became believers. Amen? Colossians 3:15 says, "Let peace of Christ ruling your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. I will say it again. Let peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. Second point. Recognize where peace is needed. So you seeked and pursued. Now you have to recognize where it is needed. I already told you that it might not be in front of your face. Turn around. It may be behind you. It may be upstairs. But recognize where it's needed. And when you see that, you have to go after it. Here's the action. There have been tragedies that have happened. And a lot of times, as Christian people, we like to keep our nose out of it. We like to sit back. That's not my problem. I don't want to get into it. And we let the world handle it. When Jesus has called you to serve, you may say, why should I move towards something, or why should I care about something that has nothing to do with me? Let's take that same thought. Let's take that same mindset and see if Jesus would have treated us the same way. What if Jesus would have said, that is not my problem? That person who has sinned, who has talked bad about me, who has spit in my face, that is not my problem. What if Jesus treated us the same way we treat others? He is calling us to move. He is calling us to go towards it. You have to get your hands dirty. This peacemaking topic, it is not easy. It is not something that everybody wants to do. If Christianity was easy, everybody would do it. Many have heard the word Christianity, but few are selected. Few people are chosen to be children of God. The gift is there, but it's up to you if you want to accept the challenge. Jesus is calling. Okay. Hey, look, like I said, a cell phone can disturb the peace quick. I know. So, also, within your own life, recognizing where there is trouble. If you do not do it in the beginning, especially young people, hear this out. Older folks, we are them. Oh, please forgive me. We, they say some people have been around the track a few times and they understand. But for us younger people who have lived less than two decades or whatever, so if you do not handle the situation in the very beginning, you will find that the end was in the beginning. Let me go deeper. Think about a dam, a water dam. If there is a crack in it, do you think the people will instantly repair it? Of course. Why? Because great damage will flow and destroy towns, will destroy the environment, the communities. So how come we don't do that in our own spiritual life? I'll answer that question because I want to be comfortable, because I want to make excuses. If you do not handle the situation when it is first presented, the end is in the beginning. Think about it. When you started arguing with your spouse, did you handle it then or did you handle it later? When things got rough with classes, did you do your homework then or did you do it later? Procrastination is a thief of time. Say it again. Procrastination is a thief of time. And what we young people have to realize is that we cannot procrastinate when the situation appears to us. And when it's time for your peacemaking to be served, when God is calling your spirit to move, if you procrastinate, you may be missing the blessing. You may be missing something. If I would have went somewhere else, I probably would have never been here preaching today. God is going to call you to move. And if you do not recognize where the problem is in the very beginning, it might be too late. Excuse me. With that being said, are you waiting to address something that is disturbing you? Or maybe you have seen a problem in your own neighborhood in the yoga and you have yet to attack it. You're yet to call it out. God also came down and asked no questions. He took your punishment. He didn't ask you to do anything. He said, I'm going to do it for you. He died on a cross. He spilt his own blood. And so I know that this second point is hard to realize, and it's something that we're probably going to struggle with in the beginning. But as you continue to serve God, you will find that it becomes easier. And that when you serve, it'll become second nature. And you'll find the blessing within the process. So, second point is to recognize where peace is needed. Third point, third and final one. For my note takers, thank you. I see you. Third point, be patient. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be patient. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. If you had a problem with doing the first two, I think this is probably the hardest one. Thank you. Being patient, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. I could tell you myself that me having to listen to somebody who is in a wrong, me being patient, being quick to listen and slow to speak is almost like torture for me. I'm like, wait, I gotta say what I want to say. Right? I think one of the leading idols in our generation today is self-expression. Everybody wants to get their opinion across. Everybody wants to say something. Everybody else wants to speak up. I'm right. You're wrong. Where are the people that are patient, being quick to listen, and slow to speak? I knew when I took on this topic, I was going to have to touch on some touchy things. Very touchy things. For example, we have a lot of racial issues and political division. As an African American standing in front of you, I am telling you that it does not matter what political affiliation you stand with. It does not matter what movement you belong to. At the end of the day, you are called to be a Christian and represent Christianity. Whether you stand or you kneel, whether you march or you stay in the house, be patient, be quick to listen, and slow to speak. Because what has happened is we have two sides that like to speak. two sides that want to get their point across, and nobody's listening to each other. And when you do see people listening to each other, love is being shared. Fruit of the Spirit is being shown. James chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak." Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Not saying there's anything wrong to speak and voice your opinion. I'm not saying that. You can get your point across. You can also pray on it. Be patient. Be slow to speak. Quick to listen. So, why do this? Because there are many more times, and I think almost everybody can agree with me, there's many more times we regret saying something that we didn't mean to say than we regret not speaking at all. Amen? Literally. There has been times I have spoken up, I have said something outside of my mouth, outside of my character, and I was like, ooh, I wish I did not say that. What's going to happen if you do not speak? You're going to melt. You're going to cry. No. You're going to listen. And what has God been telling us to do? Listen. Because when you are constantly speaking, when you're constantly trying to get your point across, you cannot hear your spirit talking to you. Wonder why there's so many Christians who are lost, who do not understand where they're supposed to be. Because we're so quick to speak. We don't want to be patient. We want it now. It's my money and I want it now. Like, there's a process to this. And it's not going to be easy. But you have to plant that seed. You have to water it. Give it some sunlight and watch the seed grow. Your harvest will be righteous. So, let's take an example, another example of Jesus being slow to speak, quick to listen, and being patient. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 58 to chapter 11, Jesus was preaching again. He was teaching. He sat down and he was crowded by thousands of people. But then his sermon was disturbed by scribes and Pharisees with a young lady in their hand. Drug her and threw her out in the middle. To give you guys a visual, it would just be like a few, say, leaders dragging a woman down and throwing them right in front of us. And they looked at Jesus and they said, "This woman was caught in adultery. And because of the law, she has to be stoned." They thought they can trick Jesus. And they're saying, "What should we do with her? Got caught with adultery. And you're under the law." So they were nagging, they're coming at Jesus, trying to make him answer. So what did he do? He bent down and he started writing on the ground. It was possibly sand that he was writing in. And they're saying, "Hey, I'm talking to you." Continually nagging him, continually waiting for an answer. About a few times go by and Jesus finally replied and says, "For the one who has not sinned can cast the first stone." One by one, they turned around, starting with the elders, and they walked away. Until the woman was sitting there by herself, And Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? Where are they? She said, they have left. And he goes, well, I will not accuse you either. Go on and sin no more. And she left. Wow. Like, that story gets me going. Because to put it in today's time, the Pharisees and scribes were like preachers dragging somebody who was sinful and throwing them in front of the church and saying, Jesus, cast this woman in front of everybody. How embarrassing that would be. But because Jesus was patient, he was slow to speak and quick to listen, he said the right thing at the right time. He got his point across. That woman went on, and he also changed the lives of those people who are going to stone that woman. But when you get up and you attack anger with anger, violence with violence, do you ever get positivity? Do you ever get life? Do you ever get love? No. If somebody says something rude to you and you said, thank you, I love you, they'd be like, huh? I hate you. I love you. Jesus was patient. And each of us could have been that person ready to get stoned. But Jesus is so patient with us. He is so loving with us. There we go. So, be patient, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. Ben, you may come up. The elders may come to the front as well. In conclusion, seeking and pursuing peace is a journey. It's a journey not by yourself, but a journey with our Heavenly Father. You plant that seed, and that fruit within the Spirit will be righteous. You will find peace within yourself, and you will find that you are delivered from the turmoil, the hurt, the pain that you have struggled with others. One thing I have not said to you guys, but peace is going to cause you to make sacrifices. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? To receive peace within your own heart, within your own mind, and with your neighbors. My second point was to recognize where peace is needed and to go attack it. Move towards it. Get your hands dirty. This is our call to action by God. God has paved the way for our sins. So we're able to be on earth and live a peaceful life. Go out and deliver others peace. My third point, be patient, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. For Jesus gave us a great example of what it means to be patient. Slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak. He took on the burdens of our sins, and he said, you are forgiven. Now go out and forgive those. Forgive yourself for the thing that you have done that was dishonorable. Forgive those people who have accused you and wronged you. Make peace with them. For when you're attacking violence with love, you will find fruit within your own spirit. You are going to be blessed tremendously. So we find that these three points are within the kingdom. And civilians within the kingdom carry themselves in this way. So we must go out and follow Jesus Christ, which was our first example, the true example. So can we all bow our heads? Pray one last time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord God, we're going to take part in the altar call, Lord God. And I pray that peace will be amongst each and every individual, Lord. That they'll find peace in times of darkness, Lord. When they don't want to be quiet, they want somebody to listen to them. Lord God, I ask that you be that listening ear for them, Lord. For their anxieties and depressions and their sorrows, Lord God, will be healed over time. Lord God, you are a mighty God who saves. You are a peacemaker, and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.